Good evening. The parsha is parsha Balak, and I would like to begin. Chapter 24, Chav Dalet, Pasuk Yud. I'd like to dedicate this year, first of all, a Fuah Shlema for my mother-in-law. Second, in honor of our new Einikel, whose name is, all right, guess the name. Binyamin. What did you want to say? What? By the way, my son-in-law was a Talmud, a very close Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and had wanted to name the baby Shlomo Zalman, but he agreed with his wife, my daughter, and go ahead. You have only one guess. Huh? Nah. Binyamin. Binyamin. Of course, Binyamin. But his name is Binyamin Yehuda. And I must say, I'm not one of these mushy people who gets all, gets all midrageish. Binyamin was my wife's father. Yehuda was my father, the two Zaydas, and they were very good friends. And in general, Binyamin and Yehuda always go close, are always together. Yehuda was the one who said that he is going to guarantee the safety of Binyamin. Shevet Binyamin is right next to Shevet Yehuda. Har Habayit is divided between Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda. The question is what nickname to give him. So I was thinking, the first name is Bays, and the second begins with a Yud. So you've got B. One, two, Lee, B. All right, okay, that's enough. That's enough of that. Then, unfortunately, of course, there was the tragic news today again of Israeli soldiers never fighting Jordanian border. So we dedicate the shir to all of these young. Three times, Bilam has attempted to curse the Jewish people, and three times he fails beautifully. Each one of the three times, the curse turns into a magnificent blessing of Klal Yisrael. After the third time, Balak has had it. Vayichar av Balak el Bilam, and the anger of Balak went out to Bilam. Vayispok et kapov. He clapped his hands. I don't know why I have this feeling of some Middle Eastern potentate or a sultan, you understand, who gives a clap, and therefore this is an indication that the servants had to do his bidding. It could also be vayispok et kapov. Oy vey, oy vey. Nebuch, Bilam has blessed the Jewish people. Ayoma Balak el Bilam, and Balak said to Bilam, Lokovoy baikrasicha, I called you to curse my enemies. Vinei beirachta bereichem, behold you blessed them. Zesh shalosh pamim, three times. Zum ersten mal, zum zweiten mal, and zum dritten mal, three times you have blessed them. Viata now brach lechel mekomecha, go run away to your place, go back. Amarti, I had thought, Kaveda Habetcha, I will honor you. V'hinei minoacha Hashem yikabod. God has withheld you from honor. Vayomet Bilam el Balak. Bilam says to Balak, but I told you so. Halo gamel malachecha asher sholachta elai. Divarti lemo, to your messengers whom you sent to me. I said to them, so saying, yitam li Balak malo beso kesed ezov. If Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold, lo uchal la'avod et bi Hashem. I cannot transgress the command of God, la'asot tova ora, to do that which is good or evil. Mili be, on my own. Hashem yitaber Hashem, what the Rebbe Shem says, tells me to say, otah adaber, that's what I will say. Va'ata now, hinini holech la'ami, I'm going to my people, l'cho yotzo, let me advise you, asher ya'aseh ha'om hazel la'amcho, what this people will do to your people, va'acharit hayamim, at the end of days. The moment that we hear Ba'acharit Hayamim, that term, Ba'acharit Hayamim, we know that this is something very special. Where do these words appear? The first place that it appears is when Yaakov gathers his children and he says, "Hey, Oslu, gather me. Va'agid alachem, I'm going to tell you what will happen. Va'achadit hayamim, at the end of days." And Rashi over there says, "Bikesh legalos hakeitz." He wanted to reveal the end of days. Nistal kamimen oshchina. The divine presence left him. V'hitzil edaber dvarim achenim, and he began to talk other things. He talked about the shvat. Achadit hayamim means the end of history as we know it and the beginning of a new epoch and a new era in history. In Parashat Vatchanan later it says, "Batzar l'chol mitzaucha," when you will be in terrible straits and these things are going to happen to you, all of the terrible suffering of Klal Yisrael, "Ba'acharit hayamim," at the end of days, "B'hashivot el avavecha," you're going to turn to God, "b'chol avavecha," or "b'chol nafshecha." We have it also in Tzavim Vayelech, so at the end of Torah, when Moshe says what is going to, he sees what is going to happen, "Ba'acharit hayamim." Once we come to the Nevi'im, so there are the two famous prophecies, which are very similar, the prophecy of Yeshayahu and the prophecy of Micha. "V'hoyon," it will come to pass, "Ba'acharit hayamim, nachon yeh har beit Hashem v'rosh ha'harim," that the mountain of God is going to be at the top of all mountains, and the Nohar Veil of Kol HaGoyim, and all of the nations of the world are going to come to Yerushalayim, ki mi Tzion teitze toro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, because the word of God is going to come from Tzion and Yerushalayim. And then of course comes the great Nevuah of, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Lo yisob goy el goy cheret," no nation will lift up arms against another nation, "v'lo yilmedu od milchama." So the moment you hear the words "Ba'acharit hayamim," it already sets the stage and creates the mood for what is to come. He proclaimed his parable and he said, "Nu'um Bilam v'no Ba'or," so says Bilam, the son of Ba'or. "Nu'um ha'gever shetum ha'ayin," so says the man whose eye is open. "Nu'um shomea imrei el," the one who hears the words of God, says, "V'yodea dat elyon," and knows the knowledge of the Almighty. "Machazer shadai Yechazer," the one who sees the visions of Shaddai, "nofel uglu einayim," while he is fallen, he is in his prophetic trance, but glu einayim, his eyes are open. And here comes the great pasuk, great psukim. But of course, this pasuk is the one about which all of the mepharshim speak. There are three parts to the pasuk, and each one of the three parts to the pasuk has two parts to it. "Ed enu," I see him, "velo ato," but not now. Ashurenu already means looking far off into the distance, "velo karo," but it's not close. What does he see? Second part of the pasuk, also two parts. "Dorach korchav mi Yaakov," a star goes shooting out of Yaakov. "Kom shevet mi Yisrael," and there arises a ruler over Israel. Third part, also two parts. "Umachat patei Moab," he will destroy the nobles of Moab, "v'karkar kol b'nei Sheth," and he will destroy all the sons of Sheth. "V'hoyo Edom Yeresha," Edom will be his conquest. "V'hoyo Yeresha Seir," Oyvav Seir, his enemies will be conquered by him. "V'Yisrael Oseh Choyl," and Israel will attain great success. "V'yerd mi Yaakov," The ruler will come from Yaakov, "v'he'evid starid me'ir," and he will destroy the remnants from the city. What is he talking about? Fact is, we will see that there are three approaches. The Evan Ezra on one hand says that he is talking about David HaMelech. He sees the rise of David HaMelech. On the other hand, there are those who says it's talking about David Malka Mashiach, King Mashiach, that he sees at the end of days. Rashi and the Rambam say that it refers both to David and to Mashiach. So let's go through it again. First, we have the Evan Ezra. The Evan Ezra says that it's all talking about David, and he makes a very fascinating comment. The Ebenezer says the following: "The chaserei da'at yachshivu, people without intelligence think, ki hamfarej yudarach tochav al David hu makhir biyat ha-Mashiach. People who don't have intelligence think that anybody who explains that this pasuk is talking about David is somebody who rejects the idea of Mashiach. Chalila, chalila, God forbid, ki ha-Mashiach mevuer heita b'nevuah v'nevuah z'Daniel kasheh pirashti. Mashiach already is described in great detail in Sefer Daniel, and he describes what is said over there. But he says, Shut Hashem Nipra, the pasuk is talking about David. Rashi says it's talking about David, but he also says Kitargumo. What does the Targum say? On the come Shevet mi Yisrael, a ruler will arise over Israel in pasuk 17, Vietraba Meshicha mi Yisrael. There will arise a Mashiach over Israel. We will see that the Rambam is going to learn that it refers to David and to Mashiach. There is a famous Arachayim here on the pasuk. Arachayim says that it refers entirely and exclusively to Mashiach. And this is already a shiur that I must have said about 10 years ago, so I'm only going to give you in brief outline what is said by the Arachayim. It is available on tape. For anybody who, if you have the series of Jerusalem reflection tapes, so Parshat Balak deals with the Arachayim. The Arachayim says the whole passage is talking about Mashiach. But according to Chazal, there are two possibilities of the coming of Mashiach. One possibility of the coming of Mashiach is he will come in miraculous fashion, absolutely revolutionary. In a single instant of time, there is Mashiach. There is a second possibility. The second possibility, not a revolutionary coming of the Mashiach, but evolutionary. There's going to be a process. It will be a process in history. The Gemara says this in a number of places. First, in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says it with regard to the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Va'ani Hashem, I God say, Be'ita, in her time. Achishena, I will hasten it. So the Gemara asks, if Mashiach comes be'ita in its time, then it's not hastened. It's not achishena. And if it's hastened, it's not in its time. So the Gemara says, if Klal Yisrael are worthy, then it will be hastened. If Klal Yisrael is unworthy, then Mashiach will come be'ita in the proper time, regardless of whether we are worthy or not. There is a time that God has decided that Mashiach is going to come. Whether we deserve it or not, Mashiach is going to come. The Gemara also says it with regard to two psukim, a pasuk in Daniel, Va'aru, and behold, im anonei shemayo, with the clouds of the heavens. It's Mashiach that we see coming. But then there's another description in Zechariah where he describes Mashiach as oni rochev al hakamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. Says the Gemara, the difference between the two descriptions is, if Klal Yisrael is worthy, then he's going to come out of the heavens in miraculous, revolutionary fashion. If Klal Yisrael is unworthy, he will come, but he's going to come in a process within history, slowly, oni rochev al hakamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. The Medrash also says it with regard to that pasuk that we say at the end of benching, Magdil Yeshuot Malko or Migdol Yeshuot Malko. Says the Gemara, what's the difference between Magdil Yeshuot Malko, the great or the growth of the salvation of his king, King Mashiach? What's the difference between Magdil and Migdol? Magdil represents something that grows bigger from day to day. It describes a process. Migdol describes something that happens immediately in one single instant of time. And there the Gemara, the Medrash says, Tachigu latam she Yisrael, so is the redemption of Israel, he migadelet, it grows from day to day. Which also recalls the famous Yerushalmi of Chachmei Yisrael, who were walking through the valley of Arbel, and they began to see the sun begin to rise, so one turned to the other, he said, Kachi gu'ulatan shel Yisrael, so is the redemption of Israel, kim'ah, kim'ah, bit by bit. says the Or HaChaim, Er'enu v'lo ato means I can see him, but it's not right now. Not too far off in the distant future. I see him, but not right now. What's that referring to? That's referring to Mashiach, who's going to come in miraculous fashion. Behold, coming out of the very heavens. Migdol Yeshuot Malko. Then there's the other possibility. Ashurenu, on the other hand, Bilam says, Ashurenu, I can see him off in the distance, but below Karov, it's not terribly close. It's going to be somewhere all the way off into history. This represents the second possibility. The possibility of Mashiach coming as part of a historical process. The Oni Rochev Alachamor, the poor man who rides on the donkey. The Be'ita, the Mashiach who comes in his proper time. Second part of the pasuk describes precisely these two possibilities. One is the possibility of Darach Kochav Miyakov, a star shoots out of Yaakov from the very heavens, miraculously, in a single instant in time, a revolution, a mahapach in the world, an ibek hevenish. I don't know how you translate mahapach, like something that shakes the very foundations of the world. But then there's a second possibility, says the Or HaChaim. The Kam Shevet Mi Yisrael. The Kam represents a process. There begins to arise over Israel a ruler. And what he will do at the end of history is going to be to destroy the enemies of Israel. Moav, Karkarkol, B'nei Sheva. This, in brief, is the approach of the Or HaChaim. So the Or HaChaim learns that the whole pasuk is dealing with Melech HaMashiach. Ibn Ezra is the other extreme, that the Psukim are talking exclusively about Davamera. Rashi brings both possibilities, and the Rambam also speaks of both possibilities, and that's why you have those little pamphlets of Hilchot Malachim. What I'd like you to do is to open up to chapter 11, Perek Achad Asar, and what I really want to do is take you through at least a number of halachas in the Rambam with regard to the idea of Mashiach. I know for some reason over the last few years I was reluctant to talk about Mashiach because I had this feeling that sort of we were a little bit off track. There was a derailment that took place in the process, but it seems there's a possibility now that the trains are going back on track. You know about trains, right? The trains are going back on track. So there are a number of fascinating ideas that are expressed by the Rambam, and it's kedai, you know, once and for all, we'll go through some of the halachas in the Rambam, and a number of comments. There are two chapters, chapter 11 and chapter 12, and these two chapters are the conclusion, the completion of the Rambam's magnum opus, his great work, the Yad HaKadosh. And in these two chapters, he talks about two ideas. We study the chapters carefully, we'll see that chapter 11 talks about the charismatic personality of Melech HaMashiach, King Mashiach. In addition to this great leader, and according to the Rambam, it's clear there has to be a Melech HaMashiach. According to Rav Sadia Goin does not place great stress on the idea of Melech HaMashiach, but talks more about a messianic era. The Rambam believes in both. The last chapter is going to be talking about Yemot HaMashiach. There's going to be an epoch, an era in history, which is Yemot HaMashiach. Let's take a look at a number of halachos in this perek with regard to HaMelech HaMashiach. HaMelech HaMashiach Atid Lamod, the Melech HaMashiach is going to arise, Ulahachzir Malchud David LeYoshnah, La Memshalah HaRishonah. Melech HaMashiach is going to return the kingdom of the house of David to its original glory. Ubonei HaMikdash, he will build the Bet HaMikdash and Mekabetz Nitzchei Yisrael, and he will gather in the dispersed of Israel. Vechozrin Kol HaMishpatim B'yom HaKusha Hayu Mikodem, and all of the laws as they were originally are going to again be reinstated. Makrivin Korbanos, we're going to bring sacrifices. Va'osin Shemitah and Yovelos, and we're going to make Shemitah and Yovel kechol mitzvataha amurah b'Torah, like all of the mitzvot that said in Torah. By the way, this is one of the places that a number of them, of course, bring proof that the Rambam holds that Shemitah at best, this man has then, our time is mid-Rabban, and it's not in our Torah. And it's only in the days of Melech HaMashiach that Shemitah will again be min HaTorah. Now, here comes the difficult sentence that we have to know it. V'chol mi she'eino ma'amin bo, whoever does not believe in him, and listen to this, o kol mi she'eino mechakeh l'biato, or the one who does not wait for his coming. Not only is there a mitzvah, according to the Rambam, more than a mitzvah, a responsibility, an obligation, to believe in Melech HaMashiach, but there's also a responsibility to wait with anticipation. Very, very difficult thing to fulfill, but you have to know that there has to be a sense of anticipation. And anybody who doesn't believe in him, or does not wait for his coming, lo bishar b'nevi'im b'l'bad u'kotev. Not only does he reject the other prophets, it's not a matter simply that, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, or Yecheskel spoke about Melech HaMashiach, but it's not Min HaTorah. No, the Rambam says it's a rejection of Torah's Moshe. Is Kofer B'Torah Ube Moshe Rabbeinu? This is the point that he wants to make, that Moshiach is not an idea that is first brought to our attention by the Nevi'im. It's an integral part of Torah. And the Rambam is going to tell us where do we see it in Torah. Shahadei HaTorah He'idolav. Torah testified about him. Shenema. And the Rambam first refers us to the chapter in Parashas Nitzavim, the chapter of Tshuva and Geula, repentance and redemption that go hand in hand. The famous Tzuk of Abishav, Hashem Elokeho, Shavuot, God is going to bring back your captivity. He's going to go back out there and he's going to bring all Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. Im Yenidach Chobik Tzei Hashemayim, if you're going to be dispersed at the very end of the heavens from there, he will bring you back and you will serve God the Chol above for the Chol Nashavah. There really the idea of Moshiach, the Goel, is not described. Those Tzukim are talking about the era, the epic of Yemot HaMashiach. These things that are so clearly stated in Torah, in other words, Torah is talking about the period of Geula. The Nevi'im are going to fill in the spaces. They're going to tell us what is this period going to be like. And one of the things that they're going to tell us is that in this period there's going to be a Melech HaMashiach. In other words, that parasha that talks of tshuva and redemption includes within itself everything that the Nevi'im later are going to say about redemption. Also in the parasha of Vilam it says, V'shom niba b'shnei ha-meshichim. See, the Rambam is taking the middle position. There, Vilam prophesies about two meshichim, David, the first, Mashiach Hadishon Shehu David, first Mashiach who was David, Shehushiyat Yisroel Miyatzarein, that he saved Israel from the hands of their oppressors, Uba Mashiach Ha'acharon, Shomeid Mi Banav. And the last Mashiach who's going to arise from his children, Shemoshiyat Yisroel Ba'acharonah, who's going to save Klal Yisroel at the end. It always fascinated me that here, this great message is communicated to us by whom? By Bilam, by a non-Jew Bilam. I don't know, I have this feeling that the Rebbeinu gives him this nevuah to tell Klal Yisrael, let him eat his heart out, that he is the one who is going to give the prophecy of ultimate geula for Klal Yisrael, this same guy who wanted to curse them and destroy them now, let him be the one who tells them ultimately the great redemption is going to come for Klal Yisrael. B'sham hu omer, and here we see the Rambam dealing with the Pesukim, and he takes, as I say, this middle position between Eben Ezra on the one hand and Or HaChaim on the other. At end, I see him below Ato, but not right now, but not too far off in the distant future. Zed David, that's referring to David. In other words, he's going to take the parts of the Pesukim, and one is David, and the other is Mashiach. Ashurenu, I'm able to see him off in the distance below Karov, but it's not close. Zemelech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach. Darach Kol Chavli Yaakov, a star goes shooting out of Yaakov. That's David. Come Shevet Yisrael, there will arise a ruler over Israel, Zemelech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach. Umachat Patei Moab, he's going to destroy the nobles of Moab, Zed David, the Chen Huomet, that was David, and David in fact was the one who destroyed Moab. Vayachet Moab, Vayemadadein Bachedel, he smote Moab and he measured them out with a rope. The Karkar Kobenei Shev, the one who's going to destroy all of the sons of Shev, that already represents a much larger population throughout the world. Moab is a specific people. Kol B'nei Sheit, all of the sons of Sheit, really represent a whole world out there that he's going to bring under his dominion. Zeh HaMelech HaMashiach, Shenema, though, as it says about him, U'mashlo Miyam Ad Yam, and he rules from sea to shining sea. V'hoya Edom Yireisho, the Pasuk goes on to say that he's going to cast out Edom, Zed David, that's David, Shenema, as it says, that he Edom with David, Lavadim, Edom was to David's slaves. V'hoya Yireisha, Pasuk goes on to say, Zed Melech HaMashiach, Shenema, V'olu Moshiim, because the Pasuk over there said, V'hoya Yireisha, Seir, Oiv of the enemies who are Seir, V'olu Moshiim, V'hatzion, Lishvotet Har Esav, to judge Har Esav, V'aytal Hashem, Amalucha. In the next halacha, the Rambam is going to bring us another pasuk or a parsha in Torah that clearly tells us that there's going to be some great era, some great epic at the end of history. By the cities of refuge, Torah tells us that there was a mitzvah to set aside three cities on the other side of the Jordan and three cities on this side of the Jordan. I'm talking about the Torah halachic cities of refuge, where people who killed unintentionally, flee there until they are brought for judgment. But the pasuk also says, "Ki yachav Hashem elokecha gvulcham," and the Rebbe Yisrael is going to expand your territory. You should add another three to those six for a total of nine. And it never happened. It never happened. And the Rambam says, "There's not a word in Torah that is for naught." It means that there's going to have to be a period in history at which the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are going to expand, and there will be need for another three cities of refuge. So the Orei Miklot, the parsha of Orei Miklot is a proof that there's going to be some period in history that is a great deal different than the period in which we live. Halacha Beis, quickly, Avarei Miklot Uomer, by the cities of refuge, it says, Vim Yarechav Hashem, Elokecha, and Brucha, if the Rebbe Hashem is going to expand your boundaries, V'yosaf B'lecha Ot, Shalosh Shalom, you should add another three cities. Umei Olam Lohoya Dabazed, this never happened. V'lo Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tov, God never commanded anything for naught. Avo B'divrei HaNadim. So now, up until now, the Rambam has been bringing us through from Torah. He gives us the Parsha of Geula. He tells us Parsha of Bilam, the Parsha of the Orei Miklot. He says, but in the Nevi'im, I don't have to bring any psukim from the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are full of the idea of Melech HaMashiach and Yemot HaMashiach. By the Nevi'im, Ein Adavar Tzorech, now I don't have to bring any proof. Shekol HaSvarim Mileim B'Davazeh. All of the Svarim are full of this. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam is going to make an extremely important statement that he is going to repeat in the next parak. But here in this parak, he is making the statement with regard to the personality, that charismatic leader called Melech HaMashiach. And he is then going to repeat it in the second chapter. And there, as I said, the second chapter deals with Yemot HaMashiach, that era in history. And he says, Rambam is going to say over here, Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to perform miracles. There is absolutely no requirement for him to do things that are supernatural, beyond the natural. Nobody is going to ask him to perform signs or miracles. The Rambam in the next parak is going to say that that is also going to be the description of the Messianic era. If you think that in the days of Mashiach, like, who knows, you're going to go out in your backyard, and you know, if you have a tree, if you live in a place where you have backyards and there's a tree, you'll be able to take a loaf of bread off the tree, for example, because the Gemara says, Atida Eretz Yisrael is going to give out clay, milat, all sorts of garments, place, loaves of bread, cakes, everything is going to come out. You'll still have to go to Enshin. Still have to go to Enshin. Because in the days of Mashiach, nothing is going to change from the norm in the world. So here in Halacha Gimel, in this chapter, he's talking about Melech HaMashiach. And in a moment we'll see what he says in the first Halacha in the next chapter, where he deals with the Yemot HaMashiach. And it sounds, you know, very much, the words of the Rambam, you know, he uses this term that we hear so often from our leaders, little L. Bal Yala Al Datra. Yale al datra, shall not occur to you. Shah Melech HaMashiach Tzadik La'asot Ototim Ophim, that Melech HaMashiach has to do signs or miracles. Umechadei Yidvarim Ba'olam, he has to create new things in the world. Umechayei Meitim, or bring the dead back to life. The Chayotze B'dvarim El, and similar things. Not so. Ein Hadavar Kach. Ein Hadavar Kach. It's not so. Shaharei. And his proof, of course, is a historic proof. The historic proof is Rabbi Akiva was the one who thought that Shimon ben Kuziva is whom we know as Bar Kokhba. He thought that Bar Kokhba was Melech HaMashiach. And we don't find any place that anybody ever asked of Bar Kokhba, do me a miracle. Do a miracle. He didn't have to prove himself that way. Shahadei, says the Rambam, Shahadei Rabbi Akiva, Chochum Gadol Michachem Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva was one of the great wise men of the Mishnah. V'hu hoya nosei Kalev shel ben Kuziva HaMelech, he was the one who was the armor bearer of ben Kuziva the king. V'hu hoya omer alav shu Melech HaMashiach, and he said about Bar Kokhba that he is Melech HaMashiach. Why was he called Bar Kokhba, by the way? Why did Rabbi Akiva give him that name? From the pasuk over here of Dorach Kochav Miyakov, the star has come shooting out of Yaakov. V'dimahu v'chol chachmei Dorot, the Rambam goes on to say, he and all the wise men of his generation thought Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach, they thought that he's King Mashiach. Ad she'nehedag ba'avonot, until he was killed because of sins. The Rambam does not elaborate over here. V'li neida, I'm going to try and find an opportunity to take you through what Chazal have to say about Bar Kokhba. Maybe it can even be a shiur during the 3 weeks that are coming up. Because the Rambam is very non-committal about the Avonos he was killed. Whose Avonos? And what were the Avonos? Kivan Shenerag, when he was killed, Nodelahem She'eno. Then they knew that he's not Mashiach. Obviously, the Rambam is also telling us the following. Rabbi Akiva and all the great wise men of his generation didn't make a mistake. And the Rambam is going to, sort of in a roundabout way, he's going to tell us that later on. Rabbi Akiva didn't make a mistake. Because in the next halacha, the Rambam is going to tell us that there's an idea of a person who is the cheskat shehu Mashiach, a person who has the potential to be Mashiach. It seems to be like he's doing the things that a Mashiach is supposed to do. But we don't know until the end, does he completely succeed? It means more. It means that Bar Kokhba could have been Mashiach. Except for some reason, there were sins that withheld him from being Mashiach. But that he had the potential of this, there's no doubt. And Rabbi Akiva was aware of that potential. He didn't simply make a mistake. He didn't think that this fellow, who later is killed, he made a big mistake. He didn't make a mistake. V'lo shalom imenu, and here's the point that the Rambam wants to make. V'lo shalom imenu chachamim lo'od v'lo mofet, the chachamim never asked of him a sign or a miracle. They never asked, do me a miracle. V'ikra dvarim kachahem. The most important thing is the following. Torah hazot, this Torah, chukeru mishpateh, her laws and her statutes, lo'olam u'lo'ome olamim, are eternal. Torah is eternal. They mosif an aleim v'lo gardim em, you can't add the Torah, you can't subtract the Torah, which means, if Melech HaMashiach would have to be tested through oath or mofet, through sign or miracle, and Torah would have to tell us that. And if we were going to go ahead and we're going to decide on our own that he has to be tested through oath or mofet, and we are adding to Torah never said that about Melech HaMashiach. He doesn't have to perform miracles. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam is going to establish this idea of a Moshiach in waiting, or a person who has the potential of being Moshiach. V'miyamod melech mibei David, if there will arise a king from the house of David, hogeh b'Torah, who studies Torah, v'oseg b'mitzvahs, and he performs mitzvahs k'David Ovid, like his father David, k'fi Torah shebechtav v'shebal peh. Rambam makes it clear. It has to be according to Torah shebechtav, the written law and the oral law. One of the great battles that the Rambam and Chachmei Dodo and those generations fought, the great battle against the Karaites, who rejected Torah shebal peh. Rambam makes it clear. It has to be a fusion of the two, Torah shebechtav and Torah shebal peh. V'yachov kol Yisrael lelech bo. Now I want to find another translation instead of the word coerce. You understand? As soon as you hear the word v'yachov, you understand they begin to shake in stone Tel Aviv. You understand? Religious coercion. The truth is, lachov means to bend, to incline, and Melech HaMashiach is going to do it b'darchei Noam. He's going to do it through persuasion and not through coercion. I think, anyway. I don't know, maybe Melech HaMashiach will even coerce, but listen, I'm not authorized to speak on behalf of Melech HaMashiach. I'm sure that a great leader of the sort that Melech HaMashiach is going to be is a leader who will know how to draw people close to Yiddishkeit. And if he's going to incline Jews to go in the way of Torah, lechazeg bitkai, and to strengthen the breaches in Torah, the lachem milchamot Hashem, and he will wage the wars of God. What are the wars of God? Whoever wages war with Israel is waging war against God. To fight on behalf of Klal Yisrael is to wage the wars of God. If he does all of this, hadeizah becheskat shehu Mashiach, he has the chazaka, he has the potential. It would seem that he's Mashiach, but it's not yet certain. Why is it not yet certain? Because there are two other things that he has to do. Im also v'hitzliach, if he did all of this and he succeeded, and then bono hamigdash b'mekoma, remember what the Rambam said in the first halacha, that he has to build the Beis Hamigdash in its place, v'kibetz nidchei Yisrael, and he gathers in the dispersed of Israel, then hareza Mashiach b'vaday. Then you know definitely that he is Mashiach. Here, the Rambam is going to lead us into another idea, and that is the idea of Mashiach is not an individualistic private matter for Klal Yisrael. Melech HaMashiach is going to arise amongst Klal Yisrael, but the message and the tafkid, the purpose of Mashiach, is going to be universal. It's not simply a matter of, well, we're going to have a grand time in Eretz Yisrael while the rest of the world simply goes on destroying one another. Mashiach is also a universal leader. He is going to correct an entire world so that they should serve God together. Then I will turn to speak to the nations in a clear tongue, to call all of them in the name of God, and to worship Him together. From here on and further is a major section of the Rambam that was removed by the censors. And in our generation, it has been put back into the Rambam. It will become very, very obvious right away why this was removed by the censors. V'im lo hitzliach ad kol, what happens if Melech HaMashiach doesn't succeed all the way? O neherad, or if he was killed. V'yadua she'eino zeh shehiftiha ala Torah, then you can be absolutely certain this is not the one the Torah promised. Then he can be like all of the other kings of the house of David, good people who died. The Rabbi Shem established him in order to test people. I mean, are we going to follow him blindly, or are we going to wait to see, does he have all of the qualifications that make Melech HaMashiach? Shenema, as it says, women are masculine, yikashlu. From amongst the intelligent people are those who will stumble. They're going to make the mistake, litzrof behem, because they have to be cleansed and purified. Levaver ulalaben adei keitz ki od lamoed. You're going to have to wait. There's still time to wait until the real Mashiach comes. Then the Rambam goes on to say, af Yeshu hanotzri, Yeshu, the Christian, shedima sheyia Mashiach, thought that he was Mashiach, the Neherag, the Bedin, and he was killed in Bedin. I'm not going to discuss what the Rambam means by this. This, of course, brings us into a much, much larger issue. Was Yeshu put to death by Pontius Pilate and the Romans, or was he put to death by Bedin? What the Rambam means over here. When I came to this line of the Rambam, I remembered one of, in all humility, one of my great lines. One of my great lines. I've been learning in my former community in West Hempstead. I had been learning Masechta Sanhedrin. When we came in Sanhedrin, we arrived at a point where there was an important section that had been removed by the censors. And now, in our generation, it was returned to the Gemara. And of course, all of these things that were taken out by the censors, all related to Christianity. And there's a tremendous amount that is written about the references to Christianity in Torah. Dad and I decided that it would be a fascinating topic to investigate, to study, and to talk about. So that's exactly what I did. And for 7 weeks running, I talked about references to Christianity in Torah, both from the Christian point of view, from the Jewish point of view, and a great deal of it had to do with what indeed happened that night of the Last Supper. The Romans who killed Yeshu, was it the Klal Yisrael? So I just remember, I don't know how it came to me, after the first week, the shul was full to the shiur. For 7 weeks, the shul was full. And finally, at the end of 7 weeks, I finished the whole series. When I completed the shiur, I said, listen guys, for the last 7 weeks you've been coming to shul to learn, for Christ's sake, from now on I want you to come for God's sake. It cracked up the place. All right, here we go. I don't want to discuss that. There are certain questions better not answered. there was always there was a large island that came to learn Shabbos afternoon. Now, I must say it was a very, very special community. There was a lot of study of Torah going on over there. And they came, but it was just a little bit more. Like 100 people were coming usually. There were about 120 or 130 that came for those years. Anyway, the Rambam goes on to say, Kvarnis Mababo Daniel. Daniel already spoke about the Yeshu B'nei Paritze Yamcha, people who are made breaches amongst your nation. Yenasu, they're going to exalt themselves, Lahamir Chazon, to establish that they are the vision that the Nevi'im had told us about. V'nikshalu, but they stumbled, they failed. V'chiyesh mikshal gadol mizeh, is there any greater stumbling than this? Shekol ha-Nevi'im dibru sh'moshiach goei Yisrael u'moshiyam. All of the prophets spoke about a Mashiach who redeems Israel and saves them. U'mekapitz v'dachem, and gathers in their dispersed. U'mechazeik mitzotan, and strengthens their performance of mitzvot. V'zeh, but Yeshu, what did he accomplish? Goram la'abei Yisrael b'cheret, he caused that Jews should be destroyed by the sword. How much Jewish blood has been spilled in 2,000 years? That the remnants of Israel should be dispersed, ulashpilam, and Jews should be downtrodden, they should be humiliated, ulahachlifa Torah, and to trade Torah in for a new Torah. Ulahat rov ha'olam, and to fool most of the world. La'avod alaham, ibalade Hashem, to serve a God who is not God. Is that what he's talking about? Catholicism, where Yeshu became the God. But the Rambam does have something positive to say. And in this next paragraph he's going to talk not only about Yeshu, he's also going to talk about the Yishmaeli who came after him, Mohammed. Abu Machshavot Borei Ha'olam and Kol Badam Lahasidam, the thoughts of God, what God has in mind. Ketzad? Kvarnit Malei Ha'olam, the whole world has become full of the idea of Mashiach and Torah and mitzvahs spread out to all the furthest islands, Uva'amim Rabim, and amongst many people, Arlelei V'heim Nosim V'notnim V'dvarim Elu. They talk about these things, they think about these things, they write about these ideas. Some of them will say that the mitzvahs of Torah are true, some of them say they're not true, these are true, these aren't true. No, they're talking about Torah. You know what it's like the fellow who says, doesn't make any difference what they're saying about me, as long as they're talking about me. The Rambam says, so there are those who say these mitzvahs apply, those mitzvahs don't apply, this was true, this isn't true anymore. Doesn't make any difference what they're talking about, but the important thing is, the basic and fundamental ideas of Yahadut made their way into the world. And when the world talks about the Judeo-Christian, whatever it is, that's what the Rambam means. The idea of a one invisible God, the idea of a messianic era, the idea that there's going to be some great period and epic in Jewish history, that there's going to be a charismatic leader. So they think it's one person, and we know it's somebody else. But at least the idea, the kernel of the idea is there. And it's more than a kernel of an idea. It's an idea that envelops the consciousness of a whole world. In the 12th chapter, final chapter, so as I pointed out, we'll just see it quickly now because there are two comments I want to make yet. Al Yala Al Halev. There are other texts of the Rambam that here also say Al Yala Al Hadat. Shall not occur to you. Just as the Rambam said in the first chapter, it should never occur to you that Melech HaMashiach, King Mashiach, has to do signs and miracles. So too he says it shall not occur to you that in Yemot HaMashiach, you see, chapter 4 before began talking about HaMelech HaMashiach. This chapter is talking about Yemot HaMashiach. Let it not occur to you that there's going to be anything that is going to be radically different than the world that we know now. And therefore, of course, the Rambam has to explain what are we going to do with the prophecy of Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says that the wolf is going to lie down with the shepherd and the leopard with the calf. I mean, Yeshayahu is describing miracles, do you understand? The wolf and the mortal enemies, the wolf and the sheep are going to lie down together. So the Rambam learns that all of those psukim are really metaphors. What they really mean is they're not to be taken seriously. The wolf, in the days of Mashiach, the wolf will still go after the sheep. But what the psukim mean is, in the context of the world, there's going to be peace in the world. Men will not lift up sword against fellow man. There's going to be a sense of peace and tranquility. It's going to be a period of great economic productivity. It's going to be a much better world in which to live. In Halacha Bet, the Rambam, and here is the two comments that I want to make. The Rambam says there are so many psukim and so many statements of our rabbis that refer to the period of Mashiach and to Melech HaMashiach, and he says it really is not worthwhile to spend time or effort studying them and trying to find out what they mean, because the fact is we will never know really what the psukim mean until it happens. When something will happen, we'll be able to look back to the Navi and see this is what the Navi meant. No way that we should know in advance. So he says it's a futile kind of undertaking to try and understand all the statements of our rabbis and the psukim in Tanakh. Futile. You will not know. In addition to the fact that the Rambam says that these are not an ikar in Torah, it does not bring you to the love of God or to the fear of God. On the contrary, it can be a terribly, terribly confusing matter, especially since there are so many statements of our rabbis that seem to contradict one another. It's an extremely difficult thing to do. So the Rambam advises, don't try to understand the psukim. Don't try. Don't try to understand the statements of our rabbis. What you have to know is that there will be a Melech HaMashiach, there will be a Yemot HaMashiach, and when things happen, hopefully you'll know the pasuk, and then you'll be able to say, this is exactly what Yeshayahu meant. At the end of Halacha Bet, the Rambam brings V'chein lo yechashev hakitz, in the last two lines. One should not calculate the end of days. Amru chachamim. The chachamim said, Tipach rucham shel mechashvei kitzin. Let the life go out of those who calculate the end of days. Quite a curse. Tipach rucham shel mechashvei kitzin. Elo yechake v'yamin. You have to wait and believe. Bechlal hadavar, in the whole idea in general. The two ideas, Melech HaMashiach anyone's not sure. But don't try to calculate. Don't try to figure it out. I recall when I came to this Rambam, I recall a story I may have told you some years ago, but I love it, so it bears repetition. The Malbim, I believe it was 1870 or 71, the Malbim published his Perush, his commentary on Daniel. And in Sefer Daniel, toward the end, there are a number of very mysterious psukim about times and periods and epics. And the Malbim attempts to explain the pasuk and makes a calculation. And it's a calculation of when the tekufa, the period of Mashiach, is going to begin. When the Malbim's parish on Daniel was published, it created an uproar in Europe, reverberated from one end of Europe to the other. The great Malbim, how did you do it? How can you do it? The Rambam Paskins it. It's a Gemara. You're not allowed to figure out the end of days. Let the life go out. A terrible koala. How did the Malbim do it? It took a while until the friends of the Malbim convinced him that he has to come up with some kind of a statement. You know, he has to, imagine they would have wanted him to say, I didn't mean it, you know, you didn't understand me. Or reprint it with an apology and leave out the parish and those people. The Malbim published, on one sheet, he published a story. The story is the following. Once upon a time, in some little shtetl in Europe, a boy became bar mitzvah. The bar mitzvah boy's father was a businessman. And once a year, he would travel to the great fair in Leipzig. That's where he would buy and sell. And this was a journey that took him across Europe. The father tells the bar mitzvah boy, you know what my present for you is? My present is my next trip to Leipzig. I'm going to take you along with me. I mean, this was the most thrilling thing you can tell little boy. Mama, she's going to see Europe. 13-year-old boy is going to see Europe. Comes the great day, of course, the coach is out there, and they put food onto the coach, and of course the mama gives him, take another sweater, I understand, shouldn't be cold for you. And they get into the coach, and the balagula, you know, whips the horses, and the great journey begins over hills, over dales, through towns, villages, and hamlets, across whispering brooks and rolling green hills. What a journey, the excitement of the journey. About 2 hours after the journey begins, as children are wont to do, the boy turns to his father and he asks him, Tata, when are we going to arrive in Leipzig? The father's response came swiftly and immediately. The best word for it is a frask in Punim, a slap across the face that there were five fingers that you could see clearly embedded in the boy's face. He didn't ask the question. He didn't ask the question again. And then the journey continues. They stay in inns, you know, what used to be Howard Johnson's and quality motels, and they're crossing through so many great cities, big cities, small cities. They're seeing the sights across Europe. One day, a few weeks into the journey, the father looks up at the balagula and he says to him, when are we going to arrive in Leipzig? And the balagula yells down to him, another 2 hours to Leipzig. The son turns to his father and he says, Tata, when I asked the same question, you gave me a slap in the face. My face is still tingling from it. But now you ask the same question. So the father turned to the son and he said, listen, Yingala Maina, when we set out on this journey, I knew that it was going to be a long journey. Can't ask the question. But now I know that the journey is coming to an end. Now I can ask. Said the Malbim, Chachmei HaMishneh, Chachmei Chazal, 2,000 years ago, knew that Klal Yisrael was setting out on a long journey through a terrible exile. So what would have been accomplished by asking, when is Moshiach coming? What are you going to tell a Jew who's being crucified by the Romans? You're going to tell him, hang in there. Just wait. Another 2,000 years down the line, Moshiach is coming. What would it have accomplished? It would have accomplished only despair. What are you going to tell Jewish communities that are being burned to the ground during the Crusades? Jews who are being taken to be burned at the stake at the auto de fe, Inquisition, in a temple. Hey, take it easy. It's going to be good. 700 years down the line, 1,000 years, Moshiach is coming. It would have only accomplished one thing, absolute despair. But the Malbim says, it's 2 hours to Leipzig. We're getting there. We're coming there. We're coming to the end of the journey. Now we can ask. Now we can ask. That was his response. By the way, what date did he arrive at? What did he calculate in his Perush on Daniel? 1917. Balfour Declaration. As the beginning, he didn't know that, of course. He died many years before that. But his understanding of the Pesukim of Daniel was that. Maybe one final point, and I'm not going to elaborate on this because this is something that we've spoken about a number of times. In our century, it's different. The same Chachmei Yisrael of the Gemara who said, Tipach Rucham shel Mechashvei Kitzin, let the life go out of those who make calculations, did say there is one surefire indication of the coming of the Messianic era. One, with absolute certainty. And that's what Rav Ava in the Gemara refers to as the Kate Hamid Gula, the revealed end of days. And Rav Abba's famous statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days than this. And he quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel, Va'atem hode Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Amtechem titenu, give out your branches, Uferyechem tisu, and carry your fruit, La'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time of their coming has drawn close. Says Rashi, when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out produce and fruit and vegetables, ba'ayin yafeh, with abundance, then you should know it's the beginning. It's the beginning of the end, the beginning of the beginning. That's called the Kate Hamegulah, the revealed end of days. Because Eretz Yisrael is sensitive, the land is sensitive and is attuned to the coming of Klal Yisrael, a country that for centuries could not support a population. In the beginning of this century, the end of last century, the beginning of this century, Eretz Yisrael becomes a land that produces fruit and vegetables and food. And before you know it, Eretz Yisrael becomes an exporter of food. This, the Gemara says, is called Kate HaMegula. Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days. And this was established by Chachmei Yisrael, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, in Shmoneh Esrei. There's the bracha of Tekah b'Shofar Gadol L'Chei Ruseinu, the son of the bracha of Kibbutz Golios, the ingathering of the exiles. What bracha comes before that? The bracha that comes before that is Borech Aleinu V'Veshem, bless the land. The same bracha, the same Talumot of the bracha, give due rain upon the land. Birchas Hashanim, the blessing of the land, precedes the bracha of Kibbutz Golios, the ingathering of the exiles. And the Gemara says, why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah make that the order of the Shemoneh Esrei? And there is the second time in Tanakh, in Shas, where they quote the pasuk of Yecheskel, Va'atem hode Yisrael, antechem titenu, ufer yichem tisu la'ami Yisrael, ki kervu lavo. There will be Birchat Hashanim. And when you see Birchat Hashanim, you know what you can be certain of? That Jews are on their way back to Eretz Yisrael. So the same Chachmei Yisrael who said, Tipach Ruchan, let the life go out of Mechashvei Kitzim, there is one case, one end of days, or that which is a harbinger of the end of days, that is called Kate HaMegula. I'll just repeat it so it gets on to the gets onto the shir. It's on that pasuk that I made the statement that I'm thrilled when I hear other people quote it and they don't even know where it came from. That if you want to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you go to the Kotel, and if you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. Okay.